Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Highbury Squad. Joining me this evening is Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. Hello.
Hi, Soph. How are you, darling?
I've been better. I hate Mondays like this. And I hate bullshit early kickoffs on a Sunday as well. But I'm not going to make any excuses, Kev, and we'll get into that. Amanda cannot join us today. We send well wishes to her and to Jack. She does have a prediction for the Napoli game on Thursday, and we'll share that with you a little bit later on. But joining us today is someone who I've long admired, and I love what he's done for the Everton fandom. He is the man who started Toffee TV, has been a long time football fan. I think when he was born, he was wearing a blue shirt, apparently. This is what I hear. He's also the host of the Follow Tonians podcast. He's done a lot of MLS stuff as well in the past. He's an all-round epic human being. Welcome to the show. Now, how do I introduce you? Because to me, you're Ped, you're Pete, but who are you?
I'm only the only person who calls me Pete is my mum. So
no, I'm in trouble.
No, but
started
that's
off
okay.
Real bad.
That's okay. No, not
right, Peter McPartland. How about that?
That's fine. I don't
there
mind. That's where I was. Well, I wasn't christened.
That might be part of.
We'll just call him Super Ped. How about that?
Yeah.
So then we've got two supers on today. Well, listen, you must be so stoked this Monday. I don't want to make any excuses for our team yesterday. I think Everton did a brilliant job setting up against us. But I want to ask you this question, Peter, because when you saw our team sheet and you saw Elneny and Guendouzi in midfield, were you not rubbing your hands together and feeling confident even before a ball was kicked?
I didn't look at your team sheet. Genuinely, I didn't. Honestly, I never look at the opposition team sheet. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less who plays for the opposition, because part of being an Evertonian is worrying more about your own side than the opposition's. And that's genuine. I honestly didn't know who was playing for you. I didn't know whether Lacazette was playing it or it was, you know, I didn't look. And it wouldn't really matter to me anyway, because I always think you can only play against the team that you're playing against. And I don't know enough about Arsenal to know what your strengths and your weaknesses are, but I just thought, well, if Everton continue playing the way they play, and then we might be in for a shout. And to be honest, the only thing I looked at was when I found out Phil Jagielka was playing instead of Michael Keane, and that's when I started to worry a little bit. But Arsenal have got a fantastic team, a fantastic squad, and I don't really concern myself worrying too much, because I think you can start worrying yourself into a defeat before the game's even kicked off.
Well, we were worried. That was the massive pause there, right, Kev? Because, listen, we do have injuries and we have suspensions. Torreira suspended. Jack has been injured for the last few games. Ramsey was carrying a wee knock. Emery being cautious ahead of the Europa League game. But, Kev, weren't you a little bit worried? Knowing Everton the way you do, and Elneny, not a lot of us are a huge fan of his, even though we respect the kid. It just felt like where the battle was going to be lost and won for me against this particular Everton team was going to be in midfield. And that was a huge concern starting right off the bat.
Look, I wasn't sure what to make of it to start with, because I think that kind of got leveled out with Michael Keane going down injured and Phil Jagielka coming in, you know, from the cold. For me, it was always going to be, it wasn't going to be a matter of what team was selected. It was always, will Arsenal want it more than Everton? Because Arsenal needed the 3 points more than Everton did. And we got surprised by Everton's desire and tenacity. I've got to say that. Everton made it so difficult for Arsenal. Arsenal couldn't seem to get themselves going. And if we're brutally honest, if Everton had had their shooting boots on, it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, could have been 5-0, you know, to be honest with you. Thank God Sir Goodson just likes to shoot from everywhere. I mean, it was a disgrace, really.
You know, had it been not been for Leno at times and some decent defending, you know, we could have got absolutely trounced. But Everton were taking us apart. We looked a yard slower than everything else anyway. But, you know, Everton were out the blocks. After second half, when Ramsey and Aubameyang came on, Ramsey started to make a difference. But the great thing that happened, which I'm sure a lot of Evertonians would be happy about, was Marco Silva adjusted. He adjusted the team to defend a little bit deeper and to nullify Ramsey and then to catch us on the break. And they've done that time and time and time again. Richarlison running wild. Calvert-Lewin, I thought, you know, had a fantastic game. And Bernard especially. You know, that those three caused all sorts of problems for us. And we got what we deserve. Nothing.
Yep. Peter, you know, what was interesting is Marco Silva, and you can educate me here as well in terms of Everton's style of playing when I've seen you play this season. Marco Silva's definitely a feet-to-ball kind of manager. And you destroyed us with the long ball in that game. You clearly saw, and this is what I love about coaching, and whether it's coaching before or during the game, it seemed like you realised that no matter how many times you kind of floated that long ball, you knew you were going to cause us problems. Have you played that way a lot this season? Talk me through that a little bit and his kind of fundamental kind of tactics when it comes to adapting, and if it was just us or if this has happened during the season.
No, I don't think we play like that a lot. We do mix it. We like to mix in. I think, and Kev will know this, that's what Everton fans like. We don't really like sitting there and watching the purest form of football that's supposed to be. We like centre forwards. We like number nine. So as I said, Kev will know all about this. We like getting down the throat of defenders, and whichever way that comes, whether it be a nice football move or whether it be in a straightforward ball to the centre forward, we will do it both. And I think what Marco Silva has realised in the last few weeks is, he realises Dominic Calvert-Lewin is our best centre forward, and sometimes we just go direct. We've got obviously Jordan Pickford, who's a tremendous kicker of the ball. You know, Michael Keane, when he's playing at the back, he's got great distribution, a lot better than some people think he has. And you've got to use every weapon you've got available to you. And I thought yesterday we mixed it really well. I thought when we needed to go long, we had Dom getting stuck into your centre backs. And when we needed to play football, we had Richarlison and we had especially Bernard. I thought Bernard was absolutely fantastic yesterday. I mean, for a player, to pick a player up like him for nothing in this day and age is absolutely brilliant. So I thought second half when we started playing counter-attack, like you've already mentioned, it could have been a lot more. It could have been a lot more last week at West Ham. And I suppose that's the only little disappointment we've got at the moment, is that we're not quite putting teams to bed. And that's been the thing all season. We've lost a lot of games by a goal this season, and it's normally been from our own mistake. So we're getting things right at the back, and it's nice that we've almost settled on this style now, and it's very promising. You know, I think we are a centre forward away from being competitive, very, very competitive, actually.
Interesting you say that, because that was going to be my follow-up, was that if you had a predator up front, I kind of wonder what this Everton team... If you had a super Kevin Campbell up front, I wonder what this team would be like this season. I mean, Sir Goodson, I mean, they all missed chance after chance after chance. And as Kev said, yes, Leno made some really great saves, but boy, did you guys miss some gaping chances. Do you feel like that's the number one priority for you guys this season? Do you feel like you've missed out maybe this season because you haven't had that predator up front?
I think, yeah, going forward, we need a centre forward. I think the number one priority come the summer is to secure Andre Gomes. He really is that become the heartbeat of the centre midfield now. And then a centre forward, of course, but they're not easy to get hold of. That's the problem, you know. I think you go back a couple of years and a lot of Evertonians bemoan the fact that we sold Lukaku, but The problem with selling someone like Lukaku is, who do you replace Lukaku with? Because, you know, if there was another one out there, then Man United would have bought him, or Chelsea would have bought him. So that's the problem we face now. And I think what the manager's done with Dominic Calvert-Lewin is say, well, we've got a young kid there, 22, very promising. He's getting his all-round game better. Okay, still not great in front of goal, but I just think that if we had a Lacazette, we would be pushing to get in that top six now. And I think that's the big one now, because as you said, you know, you look at those chances that we made, the amount of times we raided either down the right or the left, and no one could put a finishing touch on it. I mean, that's where you start to worry as an Evertonian. You know, you're 1-0 up, you feel like you're cruising, and you can't get that second goal. There's so many games where we haven't got that second goal and we end up losing the game most of the time. So, yeah, I think it's up to Marcel Brands. He's the man now. He's the man in charge of getting the recruitment in, and hopefully he's already got one, you know, lined up. Hopefully that's what we're all hoping for come the summer.
Hi, Ped, what's your thoughts on the Marco Silva? Because he's been there nearly a season now, and obviously it's been kind of a bit of a roller coaster, but now you're starting to see the team perform, everyone performing. I mean, I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin has been good game to game to game. He's been improving each game. But what's your thoughts on Marco Silva's tenure so far?
I'll be honest, till about 6 weeks ago, I wasn't really having him. I must admit, I wasn't having him at all. I just felt like the number one thing for me was, and I don't know if you've picked this up, Kev, is that he just seemed very unrelatable. He just, when you see him in press conferences and when he's talking, he just felt like he wasn't coming across to the fans. He wasn't speaking to the fans. He wasn't getting through to the fans. And then you mix that with the football we were playing. There was no clear message on or off the pitch about where the team was going. And listen, we are stuck in the middle at the moment in this city with Mr. Klopp, who very, very clearly connects with their fan base, and they absolutely love that. And that's not what I'm necessarily calling for. But you want, you know, when Roberto come in, he just straight away sort of got the fans, and he spoke the language the fans wanted to hear. And ultimately, it didn't work out, but you felt a connection. And that meant that when he did lose his job, I genuinely felt sad. I'd met him a couple of times. I'd interviewed him a couple of times. Really liked him on a personal level. So I felt sad. But with Marco Silva, I didn't quite have that relationship. And I think now, in the last few weeks, you've seen him a lot more of a relaxed Marco Silva. Ever since we had that break, we had a couple of Saturdays about 6 weeks ago where we didn't have a game. And he obviously took the players away and worked with them. And ever since then, we've only lost one game, and we've only actually conceded in one game of football in that time. And now you're starting to see his footballers, and you've seen his style, and you've seen him as a human being starting to come out and being a little bit less inhibited about connecting with Everton fans. The crowd are getting on more involved now. We've just got like a little singing section in the Gladys Street. That's helping the atmospheres. And he's buying into that, and we're buying into him. And I think that's the way it's got to be, because for a team like a club like Everton, we don't always get that media coverage, and we don't always get that, that it's almost feels like us against everyone else a lot of the time. So the manager's got to buy into that. And I think that's what he started to do in the last few weeks. So me seeing him do that, I've started to buy into him, because as far as I'm concerned, if you buy into Everton Football Club, then you're worth my time as the Everton manager.
Yeah, I feel like with him a little bit, I don't know what you guys think, he seems to be more engaged when he's winning, and he becomes very sullen when he's losing. And I get it, a lot of managers are like that. But even Emery, after the worst performance for us all season, no doubt about it, and our away form is hideous, but that performance against the Toffees at Goodison Park, which is a place we always love to kind of go and play football, was horrible. But Emery kind of came out and he was very positive. He goes, don't be so negative about this result. We're still in there. We're still in with a shout. And I feel like Silva's a bit sullen. I don't know. I fancy someone like the Wolves manager at Everton. I think you'll have your Klopp then. There's something about Marco Silva. As much as he's got it right, Kev and Peter, in the last three, four games, He just doesn't, there's something about him that I just feel is a bit overrated. Now, I made a couple comments about Everton yesterday and I got killed for it. One was that, and the other was Andre Gomes, who I personally think is a little bit overrated. And he definitely destroyed us yesterday. And Kev, I don't know what you think about those two things, but for me, Marco Silva, I'm not sure if he's their guy yet. And is Andre Gomes a little bit overrated, even though he played and destroyed us yesterday?
I've got to disagree with you, Sophie, on both counts. I think Marco Silva, he's got to find his feet at Everton. His personality behind the scenes is much, much different than what you've seen so far. And he's never been at a club the size of Everton. That's what you've got to remember as well. It's going to take him some time. He's got to get his feet under the table. And I understand what Ped said about, you know, not seeing his personality yet, but he hasn't had time to show his personality because it's been a roller coaster. You know, earlier on in the season, Everton were conceding far too many goals and it was a struggle. And it's very difficult to show your personality when your team's going through a struggle. Now that they're in a lot more stable and the team's starting to play better, I believe you're going to start to see his personality come out a bit more because he has to grow into it, I believe. And as for Gomes, I've said this from the first game he played. What a very good footballer he is. He is a very, very good footballer. Marco Silva's done excellent getting him in. I don't know how much you've said of him, Sophie, but he can dictate a game. He really can. And that's what Everton have been missing. Even, you know, getting those short passes in and just keeping the play ticking over, he makes players around him better. And that's a good sign. He might not even have a great game, but he makes Garner Gay and all Sigurdsson, he makes them better. And that is why I think the Everton fans have taken him into their heart because, you know, they've missed a midfielder like that for a long, long time.
Peter, let me ask you this. What, from an outsider point of view, other than the obvious with Arsenal, what did you... Yes, we're missing Torreira and Xhaka. That was a huge loss for us in the game yesterday. But we still, at halftime, bought on Aubameyang, Ramsey. We had Lacazette. We had Ozil. We had Socrates. You know, we bought on Iwobi. Quality, top-notch international players. From an outsider looking in, what deficiencies, what is the core issue, do you think, with Arsenal going away from home? What did you see in that game that would help us identify a little bit more from a complete outsider point of view what you think those problems might be?
I thought you lacked a Garner yesterday, a Kante. Someone who gets around the pitch, someone who goes looking for the ball, because in the second half, when you threw caution to the wind straight away, I thought that just left you so exposed. And you didn't have the ball enough to almost dictate the way you wanted to play. The only time I felt threatened in the second half, yes, he was when Ramsey had it, and he was running with it, and he was getting past the press, and that started to open the pitch up. But I just feel like you miss someone who just can get round the pitch and just stop the danger, because I think that's what Garner gives us in that midfield. He's so good at just finding the danger, sniffing it out, and then giving the ball to like Gomes or Sigurdsson or one of the wide players. And I don't think you've quite... Maybe Torreira's that player. That's what I thought you missed yesterday. And really, that's what helped us second half. After that first 10 minutes in the second half, I felt very calm and very confident that we'd go on and score more goals. And it was only because we missed so many chances that I started to feel worried towards the end. But I think that midfielder now is so key, that modern centre midfielder who can just get round the pitch, just putting out fires wherever they are. And, you know, we've got a fantastic one in Ghana. I mean, if he's with us next season, I'd be massively surprised. He had the chance to... PSG wanted him. The club wouldn't let him go. And his attitude since has been absolutely fantastic. He really has knuckled down. And I think that's what Arsenal are missing. I think that's what really a lot of... You know, like a Fernandinho at Man City, I think that's what all top clubs need now. Someone who can just they just see the danger and get there and stop it before it even happens, and then win the ball back. Because at the end of the day, most football teams now, it's if you lose possession to like a Man City or something like that now, how long before you get it back? You know, and Arsenal are fantastic in possession, but when they're out of possession, you know, and I think this is why the home away problem is with Arsenal, because when Arsenal are not in possession, I think that's where you've got to worry. They don't have those players to win the ball back.
Peg, it's good to see Theo Walcott come on yesterday. We got a tremendous reception from everyone, especially Arsenal fans. It was nice to see. What's your thoughts on Theo?
We all love Theo because he's such a great human being, isn't he? I could see, like, you did that sigh and I'm like, oh man, I know, it's so hard because Theo's such a good guy.
I just don't think he suits the way we play. I really don't. I think since Richarlison's gone on the right, Seamus Coleman's game has come back to what it was. And Theo, do you know what? One of the things I would say about Theo Walcott is, and I don't think many people have mentioned this, he had no preseason. He got injured in our first preseason game and then didn't come back till the first league game. And I think that might have cost him. I think that those stored, you know, energy banks that you get in preseason, he's missed out on that. And I think during the season, he started well. You know, and he's just faded and we don't really know what to do with him, and he's almost like a spare part in this team, and I think he works hard, I think he gives everything, and I just don't know whether his style or I don't even quite know what his style is. And when we were playing poorly and we were looking for goals, I thought one of the best options would be to put Theo Walcott up front and give him a go and just have someone up front who had the legs to get over the top when we needed to. But obviously the manager didn't feel like that was an option. And I just feel like now the team is settled, and I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't with the club next season, but then I wouldn't be sure who would come in and take him off us for, you know, and he's still got a lot to offer. I just don't know whether he's got a lot to offer Everton.
Yeah.
The rumours are, guys, that MLS is calling and that he's seriously considering a move to MLS. And, you know, Rooney's here, Zlatan's here. I think they're looking at, you know, bringing in, you know, additional talent where they're not as much in the twilight of their career, where they still feel like they have something to offer. And have you heard anything about that? And also there were rumours, I say rumours, I don't even know if I should bring up his name on this pod, but Neil Ashton was talking yesterday with Rebecca Lowe here on NBC, saying that the club are even thinking about maybe selling Jordan Pickford. I think there would be a lot of takers.
I said Everton, God, that's not a chance. What a load of nonsense.
Bizarre. He kind of was making out, culturally, that Silva maybe doesn't feel like Jordan's a fit at Everton. What do you make of that?
Well, I know Neil Ashton works for, and if he thinks, yeah, if anyone thinks,
that's why I preface that.
If anyone thinks if anyone from that newspaper's got any kind of inside knowledge at Everton or anywhere on Merseyside, not a chance. The Jordan Pickford thing is done and dusted. It was something that was blown completely out of proportion. I think that, as an Evertonian, I was more annoyed about just why he'd put himself in that situation more than anything else. But there's no way. I mean, you know, you look at the situation that happened with Chelsea and their goalkeeper, and that quickly got remedied, and that was a huge, huge on-field problem. This was something that, you know, happened. It's happened to other footballers. It'll happen to other footballers in the future. Yeah, it's not really an ongoing problem.
Yeah, sounded a little bit dodgy, to be honest with you, when I heard that too. So, listen, you know what was interesting yesterday, before we kind of get your predictions on how you think this season is going to end up. You guys had 23 shots on goal yesterday. We had 7. I can't remember, Kev, the last time it was that lopsided for Arsenal. The only team that we've beaten away from home at the highest point in the Premier League is Bournemouth. Our away form could end up costing us fourth spot. With that said, you guys are on a roll. You could end up finishing seventh. And we were talking earlier a little bit too about, is it going to be you? Is it going to be Wolves, Watford, Leicester? Who's going to grab that seventh spot, Peter?
Do you know what? I think probably Wolves, but if it's not Wolves, I think Leicester might just get it. I'm not really thinking about it at the moment. I haven't been even considering it because, yes, it gives you Europa League football, and there's nothing more than I like than travelling to some backwater in Eastern Europe. it's the best part of being a fan sometimes, but I'm not really worrying too much about it, because if it happens, it happens. I just want to see, you know, Everton progress till the end of the season. We've got some big games. We play Manchester United in 2 weeks' time at Goodison. We play Spurs last game of the season. So we've still got a big say in whether Arsenal finish. We've probably got more of a say whether Arsenal finish in the top four than Arsenal have.
so, you know, Kev said that to me on the podcast 3 weeks ago, and I said to him, get out. Everton will not have a say in any of this. We always beat them. I gave him all the stats of our last 20 years, and he's like, Soph, trust me, Everton are going to have a say in this. And I totally poo-pooed it. I'm eating crow.
So yeah, you never know.
We know.
So you never know. A couple of weeks, Manchester United at home, you know, big opportunity. And we go to, you know, the Spurs last game of the season.
That's the one. That's the one, Ped. That could be the one.
I'll be honest, Kev, if I'm perfectly, perfectly honest, on that day, I think I'll just be hoping that I'll be celebrating a sky blue win rather than a royal blue win.
Yeah. Hopefully it's over before then.
Oh, I certainly hope so, because that's the one thing. It's great to have this upturn in form, but oh my God, if they win anything this season, it's just like the ground might as well swallow me up.
Oh, jeez. I know a lot of people feel that way, Pip.
I think there's a comparison for us fans, and we've talked about it a bit on the podcast this season, Ped, is that, you know, Tottenham, they're our noisy neighbours. City were the noisy neighbours, but they backed it up and they've won a ton and they've been brilliant. Top, you know, we all take our hats off to City and what they've done. No matter how they've done it and what we all think about the FFP and all that stuff. But, you know, Liverpool, a little bit like Tottenham, you know, have created a lot of noise but done nothing, won nothing of late with Klopp. In terms of Pochettino and Klopp, and I compare the two a lot, does it bug you as much as it bugs us? That it really bugs us. Amanda, Kev and I talk about this a lot, not only on the pod but on WhatsApp, that the fact that they've won nothing, the fact that they're so lauded. Now Liverpool are in a position to maybe do something. As a Toffee, talk me through the pain and what you feel seeing these Reds rise.
These are the truest noisy neighbours, though, of any sense. These are the loudest neighbours in the world. There's no one else to compare them to, because what you have to actually admit is that Liverpool are actually a world force when it comes to football. And it saddens me to say that, but they are. They've got the history to back it up. And okay, they haven't done it for a while, but their fans will never, ever let you forget what they've done. And it doesn't matter how long they go without winning a trophy. Their fans are just some of the...
Most unbearable.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to say, Kev. Yeah, I was trying to think of the right word. They are the most unbearable.
I've got it read those Johnnies, that, mate.
They are the most unbearable people on earth, let me just say that. They are horrendous. I have to share a studio with them every single day. And I can't even get away from them. My studio backs onto, literally, we are in the same building as the biggest Liverpool YouTube fan channel in the world. And they're all right at the moment, but you know, as soon as they win something, which they will, we have to prepare ourselves. They will win something eventually. And you know, they're just awful because I just can't even tell you how, because the way I think feel about Everton, and I don't know how anyone, what anyone else feels about them. I look at Evertonians and I think my team and the fans of my team generally go the match, have some kind of understanding of how football works. You know, we as Evertonians are always the first to sort of have a go at ourselves, laugh at ourselves. We poke fun at ourselves all the time. But they have this level of... It's they don't, you know, you
hierarchy. Hierarchy. Well, it's not even hierarchy. Feel like the hierarchy.
It is that, but I feel like I have earned a right as an Evertonian supporting the club for like 35 years, going to match when I was 5 years old, standing on the Gladys Street. I've been to cup finals. I haven't missed a home game for 17 years. I feel like I've earned my crust. I feel like I've earned my crust as an Evertonian. You get these Reds who have never clearly been to Anfield in their lives. They bought, like, you know, a replica top from the shop, and suddenly feel like they can hold it over you that they're a Liverpool fan. It's like, no, you haven't. Like I've got uncles, and like my dad's the only Evertonian out of nine. Nah, he's got eight brothers and sisters, and he's the only Evertonian. And all my uncles have been everywhere, every European Cup final, Tokyo to see the World Club Championships and all that kind of thing. I respect them. I respect those people because they've been and seen and done it. And yet I have to take abuse of people who probably wouldn't even know what Anfield was. And I have to take abuse of them. No, you're all right. So if they ever win something, you'll just see the city fill up with these people that... They'll need directions, put it that way, and that's the worst part. I can take it off proper Reds. I can't, but not off these people. Oh no. So I'm crossing every finger and every toe for Man City to just win it and to win the Champions League as well. Win everything. I just want Man City to win everything just for them to cry about FFP.
Pep, but will it? Will it be sweeter if it went down to the wire and they lost?
Oh, no. Come on. I mean, Kev, I'll be honest, right? This is how bad I am. So 20 years ago, I'm 30 years ago, sorry. I'm 10 years old. I'm literally in the house on my own. And when Michael Thomas goes through, honest to God, it is as much a memory for me as any ever moment. Honestly. It is. I'm 10 years old, and that's how much I hate them. And when Michael Thomas goes through, it is one of the greatest nights of my life when he sticks it past Bruce Grobbelaar. It is one of the greatest nights of my life, but I cannot go through that again. I could never go through that again. And if I have to, I have to. But that, honestly, that is what I wanted, that yellow Arsenal kit forever. I wanted that Arsenal. It's the greatest football kit that's not an Everton kit ever.
Yes.
Honestly, it is. And this is why I hold a little affinity with Arsenal. I genuinely do. In fact, you know, one of the best away trips I ever went to was it was Everton versus Arsenal, and it was did it finish 4-3 or 5-3 at Highbury? And you got the league, but we played really well. It was Moyes' first season, the end of Moyes' first season, and I remember Martin Keown coming around with the league, and we all clapped them, and it was a great day because I felt like. Even though Arsenal beat us, I felt like we had a little bit of Everton back.
We had a goal. Yeah.
We had a goal, and we felt like we got a little bit of Everton back that day. And Arsenal had won the league, and people like Martin Keown had the trophy, and it was really nice. And I've always felt a little affinity with Arsenal, but it all comes from that day. Michael Thomas, absolute hero, of course, till he scored in the 1992 FA Cup final for Liverpool. But yeah, so I don't know if I can go through that again. I mean,
I don't think any of us. I don't know if any of us can go through. Well, we could go through the Michael Thomas moment again, no problem, right, Kev? I wouldn't have any problem going through that. But I think we're all in agreement. Unless you're a Liverpool fan, I think most fans are dreading the potential of them winning it. And you know, you say you have an affinity with Arsenal. I think for Arsenal fans, and you know this, Ped, I've told you this years ago that. Everton are my secret favourite club. my cousin was a Toffee, and I think maybe because, you know, Super Kev went there. We love Kev. Arteta came to us. Theo went to you. There just seems to be a mutual respect of the two clubs.
Don't forget Anders as well. Don't forget Anders.
Yeah, Anders. Oh, my God. I know.
Martin as well. Martin Keown.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So I feel like there is that affinity. Now, even though you beat us at the weekend, tell me and Kev, Are we going to finish in the top four? And we saw Chelsea. Well, let me rephrase that. We saw Hazard beat West Ham tonight. What do you think? How's that going to shake up that top four? Talk us through from champions to the fourth. What do you see?
I think City. Well, no, I don't think City. I pray City win, with Liverpool obviously coming second. And you know what? I just obviously Chelsea now in third place, but they've played one more game, haven't they, than Tottenham and yourselves and Manchester United. Will Arsenal's away form be the will that be the big thing? You know, surely now he's got to look at, like, for away games, not playing Ozil and just being a little bit stronger midfield. But I really couldn't call it. I just worry that Arsenal's away form might be the thing that costs you, because I just thought, you know, I think you've still got to go to Leicester.
Yeah.
Got to go to Leicester. We've got to go to Burnley, and we've got
Wolves.
Wolves and Leicester, they're the big two games, obviously. They'll both be going for seventh place. Wolves will be doing everything now that they're not in the FA Cup final. Mm. They'll be doing everything to try and get that seventh place, to try and get Europe. That sounds difficult. I think Tottenham will finish in the top four, sadly for you guys. I think they will. I think now that they've got the new stadium and they've got the Just Compare Man to sing them songs every game.
That's all they could afford, mate.
Shambles.
Oh no, but well, that's a nice stadium. Come on, that is a really nice
stadium. Oh, it's beautiful.
Stadium.
Oh, it's stunning. There's no doubt about that. It's very nice. Yeah, almost as nice as LAFC Stadium. I went there yesterday to watch the US women's team, and that is pretty sweet. But no, jokes aside, it is a really nice stadium. But I mean, I'm not. I hope I don't sound bitter, Ped, because you know I say, and you know we've talked about this in that. How is it they've gotten away with playing at two home grounds? It's illegal, number one. And they've got four home games left. I mean, this is set up brilliantly for Tottenham. If they don't finish in the top four, shame on them, no?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, one of them is us, though. I mean, so, you know, come on.
that's right. Last game.
You know. I mean, it's in their hands now. It's definitely in their hands.
It is.
And listen, they've still got the involvement in the Champions League. Chelsea and yourselves have still got the involvement in the Europa League. Man United are still in the Champions League as well. So it could be whoever goes furthest in Europe could be the ones to drop out. And if, you know, Tottenham obviously face some very tough tie against Manchester City, but you never know. So I'm going to say Tottenham are definitely going to be in the top three. But after that, I just can't call it. I really can't, because I think if you weren't playing as tough away games as you are, then maybe you'd be a safe for it. But you were very poor against us. So
oh, we were so bad. We were terrible. All right, let me get you out on this then. Who? I won't. I got two more. But who wins the Champions League?
Barcelona.
Messi's on fire this season, isn't he? When is he not on fire? That little bugger. Okay, and then I ask you both this because Super Kev loves his toffees. He was there this weekend. Always lovely to see him on the touchline at Goodison Park. What is your wish for Everton next season? When you see, I know you're up there for seventh, Peter, and you've done really well. But when you see kind of Wolves, and we've seen these anomalies with teams come up, they have this sense, Burnley did it, you know, Wolves have done it. They've lit up the Premier League this season. Like, if you had a wish for Everton next season, what would it be? What would you love to see Everton do? Is it a cup? What is it?
It'd be a cup more than anything. I think winning a trophy is something that we've got to get that off our back. It's been far too long. It'll be 25 years next season, and that's just far too long for a club the size of Everton. And I think that would be the number one thing. I can't really ask for anything else. It wouldn't really matter if it was the FA Cup or the League Cup. We just need that starting point to move forward. It's going to be lovely to compete for the top six. But this is something we said at the beginning of the season, is we've got to start making, you know, if you want the top six, you've got to start making seventh your own then and start moving forward and getting into Europe every year consistently. So there's a lot to do, but a trophy would be just absolutely amazing. I think there's a whole generation of Evertonians that I've never seen us win anything, and that's the first time that has ever happened in our history. This is the longest stretch in our history that we've never won a trophy. We are the most unluckiest club ever in the history of the world. By the way, you've got to understand that. We are. Listen, we were the league champions for both world wars. Explain that to me. The Germans do not like Everton.
I never really thought about it.
So as far as I'm concerned, well, that's another six. For the Second World War, that's six. And for the First World War, that's four. So that's another 10 league trophies that we should have added to our list.
I tell you, though, you guys talk about go down memory lane. I used to love watching your 80s squad. What a team they were, man. They were just top shelf. You probably haven't had... You had some moments in the 90s with your teams, but that 80s squad was something else, no? Like, we look back at the Invincibles and kind of the last great Arsenal team, but that team in the 80s was just special.
It was, but how long can you keep looking back that far? You know, it's...
I look back every week.
Hey, Ped, the other lot do it all the time. Stop it.
I know. Kev, it's 20 years since we won at their place, never mind win a trophy. 20 wow. years since you scored at the Cop End, so...
I know, mate.
That's what... Kev, is that what you want to change next season for Everton? Would be in Liverpool at least, or someone scoring at Anfield?
Yeah, I'd love to see... What I'd like to see is Everton invest in a striker, especially.
Mm-hmm.
A goal scorer. And Everton to compete better, more consistently, I think that will give the platform for the fan base, I believe. And that's how you could go for a cup then, if you're consistently good. Like, for instance, you know, Burnley done it last season. You spoke about Wolves this season. Unfortunately, Everton haven't been that consistent. But now they're getting a little bit of consistency in their game. You could see the crowd come into play. And that 12th man is serious. That Goodison Park.
So that's I love that I stadium.
That is what I want.
That stadium can never... You guys are never getting... Are you guys looking to move? You are, aren't you?
Oh, yeah,
are you
yeah.
We're going to build on Goodison Park. Is it happening?
No. Yeah, the stadium's happening, but it's not okay. Goodison. It's it's down by the docks, and it's going to be...
It's going to be epic.
We're hoping so. We just don't know at the moment, but Goodison will be left as a community project. Not a little bit like Highbury, but not with very expensive flats.
they cost an arm and a leg over there. Yeah. You know what I see, though, and we'll get, you know, we've had such a great chat, and thank you so much for coming on. And for me, I see Everton, Tottenham, you know, Everton to me have always been a bigger club than Tottenham because of your success. Because of, I think being in London, Tottenham have had this luster put, up against them. And now they've got the golden boy in Harry Kane. But really, Tottenham were in the wilderness. They weren't finishing in that top four. They weren't really a dominant force at all in the Premier League. They weren't doing anything. So I feel like Everton could become like the next Tottenham. But obviously, you want to win something. Tottenham were out of that top race. There's no reason why Everton, with the right players, the right manager... Because you've got one of the best fan bases for me, not only in the country, but the world. I think Everton fans are so brilliant. You can be. Why can't you be them? Why can't you evolve the same way they have, especially with the new stadium coming down the line?
I don't think there's... The mad thing is, if you go back 10 years ago, we were consistently finishing in the top five, top six without a problem. But the difference was then it was a top four and it felt like the top four was a closed shop. Now it's a top six and it feels like the top six is a closed shop. So it's all, I think, media plays a big part in it and how you're perceived. We've never quite been perceived in the same way that Tottenham are now. As you mentioned, things like Harry Kane and new stadiums, they all help galvanize the media, and with the media comes sponsors and all the rest of it. It's going to be difficult, but listen, I personally feel Everton are a much larger club than Spurs. I feel like we're a much larger club than Manchester City, but you know they've got we're definitely a much larger club than Chelsea. I know that, but they've got circumstances behind them, and until Everton change their own circumstances, and maybe it will be a new stadium that gives us that attention that we need to start building, but I think that process has already started.
Yeah, you need the team first. You need the team ready before you get the new stadium. Yeah, definitely you do.
I live in hope for Everton. I root for Everton. I hope they do. They're one of those teams, a little bit like Newcastle. Like, look at Newcastle this season. You, God bless Rafa Benitez, what he's done with that squad and that team with nothing, really. And you kind of root for, you know, teams like that. You can find Peter McPartland at PED7 on Twitter. You can also find him. He's the host of Toffee TV at Toffee TV EFC. And I'm not sure about this nerd social club. I've not heard this. Is this new? What the hell?
This is my little... listen, I am... Football is now my job. And
I love that.
Your job, it becomes more... You know, you just... You need something else. So my hobby has become my job, and now this has become my hobby. So anyone who knows me knows I am... Oh, I am... I am. Listen, forget about Everton. I'm waiting for the new Avengers film. That's my next big thing. And and Game of Thrones next week. they're my passions now. So that's my little. If you're into your films and your stuff like that, then come and have a listen. It's a good.
Well, I will, Pete. I worked for 20th Century Fox and Sony Pictures for like 20 plus years. So I can share some. Oh, we can. You should have me on. I'll share some anecdotes with you.
The good thing is, Sophie, is that I host the show with a guy called Aaron, who's a big blue. But he lives on the East Coast in America.
Oh, lovely.
So we have to do the podcast like I used to do with Eric in the old days at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I love it.
So, you know, I'm always looking after the US guys, you know, I'm bending to them guys. So yeah, we'll have a chat.
Maybe I'll donate an artifact for you from a film I've worked on as a special sweepstake. Maybe we'll do that. How about that?
It might end up in my house.
Well, it might end up in your house on your wall.
I love that.
At least he's honest. Peter, thank you so much for coming on. You're absolutely brilliant. And, you know, when they talk about really good club podcasts, TV networks out there, and you are the epitome of everything that someone who loves a club should be. I've adored following you for a number of years now, and you've always been very gracious coming on any show I do. And really wish Everton the best, and you, and love to your family as well. I know it's not an easy time for you as well, and we're all thinking about you, and we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks for having me. And if you do come over, come and check out Super Kev's little video he did with Goodison Park as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that was great. Ped, listen, absolutely fantastic speaking to you again, mate, and hopefully you get me on Toffee TV before the end of the season.
Oh, we will. We know the door's always open.
Lovely.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Okay, see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Cheers. Bye.
Oh, good stuff. Top guy. Top shelf guy, right, Kev?
Yeah, great guy. Great guy. Great people, them Toffee TV guys. Excellent.
I tell you, how lucky did you get playing for these two clubs? Like, seriously, I know we joke about it and stuff like that, but when you think about your career and the fact that you played for such great clubs, like clubs that, you know, have had an impact on English football for eons, you must feel like, wow, how blessed, right?
Oh, I am definitely blessed.
Yeah.
And both the teams have never been relegated from the Premier League.
I know, that's unbelievable, that stat.
You know, these two clubs and, you know, they're part of the old Big Six, weren't they? You know, back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And Arsenal and Everton are very prominent. As we found, there's a lot of respect between the two clubs as well. So, you know... I couldn't, you know, it was great. I couldn't lose yesterday, although I lost the one yesterday, you know. So,
yeah.
Obviously, it's been the last few years, it's been the opposite way where Arsenal have won the game. But yesterday, you know, it was thoroughly deserved by Everton. So, you know, it just...
Yeah,
it just,
and you've crossed over because what's great is I love seeing how much Arsenal fans love you and how much Everton fans love you. And that says a lot about you as well and kind of what you've given back to both clubs and how involved you are with fans and communities. Like, you'll just show up at a pub and watch a game with Arsenal fans, with Toffee fans. It's just brilliant. And I do want to bring something up before we get out on our Napoli predictions, because big news for you and your fam jam, Tyrese won the EFL Young Player of the Month award. How about them apples?
Yeah, unbelievable. I found out I was doing Sky Sports News today. Mm-hmm. And I found out in the studio, and Rob Wotton, bless him, he mentioned it at the end of the show, and I was like, wow. I said, don't, you know, don't have me crying here on live. Don't have me crying live. No, it's, do you know, I got emotional about football, but in a good way. But when mm-hmm. when it's your son, obviously you don't know how it feels. But now that things are starting to happen, and he's a pro and he's playing and stuff, it really does touch your heart. So I'm so delighted.
Wonderful. Everyone,
the whole Campbell family is so proud of him. And hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood and all that, it's the first of many. You know, he gave a successful career.
Definitely. And that move to Shrewsbury was brilliant. He got his chances there. People believe in him there. And it just shows you, doesn't it, when you're surrounded by really good management, the club, someone believes in you, Kev. And that's what happened with you. Someone believes in you. They give you a chance. You take it and you can really show what you're made of.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Do you know, the talent is there. The talent is here in England. Mm-hmm. But it needs the chance. It needs an opportunity. We only need to look at the likes of Sancho and Hudson-Odoi. When these kids get the opportunity, they will produce. So, you know, it takes a bit of cojones, as it were, from the
match.
It does take a bit of cojones, but
yeah.
I reckon, you know, they, given these kids an opportunity, yeah, nobody will look back.
All right. So speaking of cajones, we've got two games to predict before we leave everyone today, Super Kev. Obviously, the big game this Thursday. Hopefully, we've got some injured players coming back. We're hopefully going to regroup in terms of how we played against Everton this weekend. We're at home, which is a good thing for us. I mean, I wish all of our games were at home. What do you think, Kev? What's your take on Napoli? Because for me, Napoli aren't as great as they've been in the last three seasons. Ancelotti definitely has a front three that are very frightening. And obviously, Koulibaly is one of the best in the business, but maybe playing in a poorer team, and he probably won't be there next season. Talk me through this game. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking they're going to want to play cagey and not concede typical calcio style Italian. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to keep things very tight, you know, not let Arsenal get a grip of the central midfield. They're not going to mind them going down the wings. But I just think it's not about Napoli. This is about Arsenal and how Arsenal approach it. Arsenal have to really, obviously, they've got to forget what happened yesterday, although it's painful. And mm-hmm. really set that tempo and go for the jugular and make it a really hot night for Napoli. You know, Arsenal record at home is unbelievable. It's incredible. So they have to really put them under pressure. And Aubameyang and Lacazette have to start the game together. They have to. And, you know, this is where hopefully we're going to see the best of Mesut Ozil, because we didn't see that yesterday. But these are the big games where we expect him to make a difference. We really do. And I'm sure Torreira can play as well, can't he?
Yes, I believe he can in this game.
So we obviously he knows Italian football very well after coming from there. So I think he's going to be key to making sure we try and keep the back door shut. I think you actually realise when he's not there how much we miss him. We really do. So I believe Arsenal are going to win the game. I reckon it's going to typical Arsenal. Arsenal are going to win the game, but Napoli will score. I believe it's going to be 2-1, and it will just keep it on tenterhooks for the away leg.
I agree with you. I think Napoli will actually score first, and we'll kind of, you know, have one of those Arsenal home performances. Agree with you. 2-1. Our girl PG thinks it's going to be a 2-2. She thinks Napoli are going to get two away goals.
Wow.
Here's the scoop. On the road in Europa League, I've got to, you know what? I should have checked the stats, Kev. We're not as bad on the road in Europa League as we've been in the Premier League. I don't think so. Well, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more on the second leg, but I think if we do concede
can Socrates play away?
Yes, because I don't think the ban counts for Europe. He's banned in the Premier League.
Yeah, that helps us.
can you imagine not having Socrates at Burnley and Leicester or Watford?
Jeez,
it's going to be tough, isn't it? Who's going to play? Who's he going to play? Koscielny's injured. Mavropanos.
He might have to come in. Mavropanos.
Yeah, he may play someone like Elneny as a CB.
No,
if it depends. No. Maybe not after the Everton performance. Hopefully not, but. Yeah,
I can't see that at centre half. No chance.
Well, he's done. Wenger did it a couple of times.
Yeah, but he's, yeah. Yeah, I'll get that one, but no thanks.
All right, now give me the good news on the Watford prediction. I think we'll throw this one in because we'll probably do a show between them, but just in case, because it's pretty tight when we play Thursday to Monday, we'll probably do the show Monday night. Tell me that Watford are on such a high right now, Super Kev, that we will go to Vicarage Road and we will beat the Hornets.
I think we're going to have to. We're going to have to beat them. We're going to have to beat them. And again, I'm going to go for a tight victory, 2-1 again. Arsenal can't afford to be tinkering with the squad anymore, with the first 11. They've got to play the best team now with all the firepower in it. And I think we'll beat Watford 2-1.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a 3-1. There's something about Watford that isn't too far removed from Islington, where I feel like it's kind of an away/home game. So I'm going to go for a 3-1. We didn't get Amanda's prediction on that one, but we will get it for you. Brilliant show.
She'll probably say a draw.
She will. She's probably going to say a draw. I mean, we've got some tough games coming up, Kev. Burnley, Leicester. Leicester, we play well against Leicester generally, but they are resurgent under Brendan Rodgers, aren't they? They're looking good.
They are. Brendan Rodgers has got a lot to prove now. He's come back from Celtic and you're starting to see Leicester resurge, the resurgence. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very good with young players. They've got a very talented young squad. And they're playing free and they're playing very exciting football. And Vardy's come on again, hasn't he? You know,
he has, yeah.
Scored a couple at the weekend. I think he's 50th highest goal scorer in Premier League history now, Jamie Vardy.
Which is crazy considering how many years he's actually been in the Premier League.
Exactly. So,
yeah, it's very impressive.
He's doing a very good job. Good job by Leicester.
Well, you guys, it's going to be quite the end to the season, not only in terms of who's going to win the league, but that fight for third and fourth is insane. We've got some really tough games coming up, but the team has to believe, you know, Emery's got to get this right. We live in hope. And, you know, I have been one that has said, Kev, considering where we're at, the fact that we're even fighting for top four, no one predicted that at the beginning of the season, did they? No one gave us a chance. In all honesty.
No, nobody gave us a chance. And look, as long as we're in with a chance, we've got an opportunity. We've got to be positive, haven't we? So,
definitely.
Look, if you would have told us this, with six games to go, we'll be fourth place. We'd have taken that.
Absolutely.
Are we fifth now? Are we? Because Chelsea won.
Yes.
So, but we're in the mix-up. That's the key.
Exactly. And the fact that, you know, bad results are going to happen. We move on. Let's hope Emery gets it right. And good luck to the Gunners this Thursday. Come on, the Arsenal. And Kev will leave you with this in Amanda's absence.
Always Arsenal.